Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is a quick hit from the July 25th show, Baker's Dozen Night 4, I guess. This is RJ. I'm here with Sean and Chris. Chris is at Weaver NFLF, and if you guys don't know who he is, he works for NFL Films and was an integral part of the Wilson documentary phenomenon from a couple years ago, and haven't been on the show before, so thanks for coming on, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And Sean, who's also joining, created another cool thing for the fish community, which is Baker's Beat. And on Twitter, it's at Baker's Beat. Put a lot of content and thought into the run leading up to it and adding more stuff every day. So, Sean, that's pretty cool. Thanks for contributing and coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, RJ.
So, guys, the jam-filled night, obviously. It turned out to be a jam-filled night. From the time they announced what flavor it would be until the show, there were hundreds of different songs and theories, and it turns out that mostly they just jammed, which I guess is pretty cool based on what most fish fans want to see. But do you guys have thoughts about what your expectations were kind of going into the show?
Chris here. I thought, you know, they really put themselves out there and said, you know, it's pretty obvious that they were going to jam that, you know, last night with the Jam Filled Donut theme, and I think they took a little guts and they sort of put themselves out there and they delivered, you know, like that. So I'd say my expectations were pretty high going in, which I try not to normally go in with high expectations, but I think they sort of forced that on us in a good way, I mean. And they delivered with what I think was an instant classic.
This is Sean, and, you know, I think we're in a really unique position expectations-wise for this whole run. You know, outside of Halloween and New Year's Eve, they don't really announce a show concept or theme ahead of time. So I think this entire run, we've been in new territory, and I know my group of friends, you know, we have a Slack account going, and it's just been so fun predicting each night what they're going to do. It's a new way to kind of anticipate the shows, and then with Jamfield, they could have taken it a few different directions. Like you said, there's a lot of theories, and I was surprised they announced it immediately after the Sunday show to give us so much time, but I was glad that they did, or I think fans should be, especially that we're out of town, to give them a little bit more time to fly in rather than announce it Tuesday afternoon and for it to be too late. And so, I mean, expectations were high for me as well, because they sort of communicated that Jamfield so far in advance.
I don't think we got any covers or anything on the theme itself in terms of raspberry and honey and that sort of stuff. It was pretty jam filled, right?
Well, yeah, Chris, yeah, they definitely filled the night with jams. You know, I sort of had my guesses, like Sean said. We, you know, me and my buddies have been tracking the donuts each day, and you know, we made our guesses, and in the end, like you said, RJ, they filled the night with jams. I mean, from the first song, you know, the sample, they sort of jammed out the middle of it, which, you know, I've never heard. I'm not real sure they've ever really done that, and sort of extended the sample and you know, kind of announced right away, here it is, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're not doing a cover on the theme. We're going to jam tonight. And then obviously they follow up with the Blonde Boy for the Ages. So yeah, I'd say they filled the donut quite well last night with some jam.
You know, Fish has kind of established this routine, I think, over the first weekend of really, to my knowledge, pretty much three songs or three references to the theme each night. And I felt that, you know, that last night did fit in with that, in the sense that if you were to pick the three references, it would be Lawn Boy, almost a half an hour jam, Cross-Eyed and Painless, over a half an hour jam, and then End of Session, end of, in parentheses, jam, session. Because after the end of session, it was a fairly normal show. And when they came out of End of Session into Tuesday, it was very much like coming out of a dream, really. Or, mm-hmm. You know, it felt like we were like coming back to a normal show, and that the whole, everything that had happened in the previous hour or so was, you know, behind us. And just like, I can't describe it other than like, it felt like a different sense of consciousness almost. It just was like, all of a sudden we woke up and then Tuesday, Cavern, funky, energetic ending, and then, you know, of course, the encore, you know, fairly standard and with the wink with the long boy at the end. But I think I would say end of session, truly, it was a reference to the theme, end of jam session.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. And a lot of people on Twitter this morning were postulating about the end of sessions, given what's going on with Trump and the Attorney General, which I thought was funny. But I think your explanation is a little bit more a little bit more on point. But you know, you never know. They're very subtle in there when they do address politics, which is not very often. But so obviously there's the five song first set, and we'll play a little bit of the Lawn Boy, but What were you guys thinking about during that set? Like, just, I mean, I guess during the sample jam, you probably knew what was happening. That's what it seemed like from watching the social media conversation.
Lawn Boy, I went to a couple of Chicago shows, and I thought they did a really good Lawn Boy there. And I always welcome, you know, Paige coming to the front of the stage. And yeah, like I said earlier, the sample jar sort of set the table. And then when Lawn Boy came on, came out and Paige came to the front, I don't know that I would have ever guessed, or I don't know that anybody could have guessed, that they were going to turn that into, you know, a type two jam. It's just, it was out of nowhere, but it certainly fit the theme. And I don't think you could ever, I can't imagine them ever topping that Lawn Boy. And like a lot of people are tweeting now, Lawn Boy turned into Lawn Man last night. Like it definitely went to a whole new place that, was special, to say the least.
And this is Sean. I mean, once they started to sort of do a different jam on Sample in a Jar, got a big reaction from the crowd, and instantly when they started playing Lawn Boy, it's like, oh, this is going to be the theme. They're going to jam songs that they don't often jam. And maybe to, you know, use your guys' phrase, you know, maybe it's going to be a whole bunch of micro jams within the, you know, within songs that aren't often extended. What comes to mind is I interviewed one of my friends, Max Medina, for Baker's Beat yesterday. That interview will be going up later today. And I asked him about a prediction. And he said, you know what? First sets are in play for the rest of the run. And he couldn't have been more right about that.
Wow.
The first sets are in play. And with Lawn Boy, what really stood out to me is, you know, through the half an hour of that playing, there's just so many different styles and sections. There were parts where it really felt like, oh, this is a 97, 98 kind of cow funk fish. You know, it kind of starts out with that, you know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes in the beginning. And then, you know, eventually Trey comes in with some soaring delay in 8 minutes and, you know, gets 11 minutes down the line. It kind of gets a major key, kind of more the blitz jams. And then, you know, back into a cowbell groove, mic dropping bombs, and it, and eventually 18 minutes, more of the machine gun Trey, really fast playing, 94, more kind of stuff. So long story short, I feel like throughout that half an hour, you kind of get tastes of all sorts of different modes of fish that they've used for jamming and improvisation throughout their career, really. And they were drawing from all of, you know, they're pulling out all their bags of tricks in that way. And it just reminds me that, you know, this run, the Baker's Dozen, is really, it's a career retrospective experience for them. You know, they're, and not only their own career, really. I mean, every time they play one of these big covers, you know, whether it's Velvet Underground or Beatles or whatever in Madison Square Garden, to me, it feels like a mini tribute, not only to that band, but just to the history of rock and roll, that they're drawing from all of these different bands and integrating them into their own in this really special experience. You know, it's a very high profile, you know, concert experience. I think they're treating it as like this incredible career retrospective. And I think that Lawn Boy, the improv in that Lawn Boy kind of epitomizes that.
I think we should play a little bit of that Lawn Boy now to give, I don't know if there's anyone out there who hasn't heard it, but if there's anyone who hasn't heard it, we'll play a clip. After we play the Lawn Boy clip, I want to actually just insert a little recording that we got from a fan from Set Break, so that gives you a sense of sort of first set highlight and a little bit of perspective from the venue, and then we'll come back in a sec and talk about set two and play a little more music. We'll be right back.
It is set break, July 25th, 2017. I just sat here in section 306 and watched a five-song first set of all 1.0 songs. When your J card says Lawn Boy, asterisk, unfinished, you know it's been an absolutely amazing night so far. It's going to be pretty easy to have no repeats during this run if we are doing five-song first sets. This is as good as this fish is going to be. I don't need to hear about some 58-minute runaway gym from 20 years ago. I love nostalgia, but we are in the moment. And in the present, this band is killing us in the most beautiful way possible.
Cool. So, guys, the first set, we also, you know, we didn't talk too much about the rest of the set. There was some really good jamming in Bathtub Gin, and then there's the My Friend, of course. But given that this is supposed to be a quick hit, let's move on to set two. And I guess, Chris, do you want to give us a little bit of your perspective on set two?
Yeah, I think I'll go back to Chicago briefly and say that when, you know, they unveiled the song Thread in Chicago, we were, you know, me and my crew were, we loved it. And so when it first started up again here, I was telling my buddies around me who hadn't seen it yet. I'm like, yeah, we just saw this. It's great. I was really excited about it. It's kind of got that rocking ending. And then of course they followed up with that cross-eyed. It was just, I thought it was amazing. And, you know, I've seen a handful of cross-eyes, and I gotta say, that's probably the best one I can remember. It's certainly the most memorable. And, yeah, there was a moment, I mean, that's like a 33-minute jam. I can't remember exactly when it was, but somewhere in the middle there, they, you know, when you think of cross-eyed jams, at least me, I think of sort of the hard-charging, you know, aggressive jams. Yeah. But I thought there was really a special moment in the middle there where they sort of opened up, and I think Fishman dropped out, and they sort of let it lie a little bit. And I wouldn't call it a tease, but they were sort of teetering on a what's the use type of feel with that really dark, you know, psychedelic, spacey feel. And it was definitely, to Sean's point earlier, sort of this surreal moment that, you know, and you're talking right in the heart of the second set. I mean, it's just, I thought it was an excellent cross-eyed and painless. And then, of course, following up with, you know, the always fun Maki Supa, you know, that the heart of that set was unforgettable for me, at least.
I would say what my favorite moment from last night, and I will have this 5-second kind of sequence in my head forever, is when at the very beginning of cross-eyed, you know, after following thread, you know, immediately Trey counts off 1, 2, 3, 4 really fast, and they go right into cross-eyed. And it felt to me that they were playing a little bit faster than usual even. And it's so cool to hear in the arena. I was in the 200 level section, and he said it a little bit into the mic. I don't know. It seemed like a particularly quiet moment for that, you know, at the end of thread. And to hear him say 1, 2, 3, 4 and count it off like that, and boom, for them to go into it, it's so cool. And you can hear on the recording on Live Fish that for like a second or two, no, it's very quiet. And then there's just this huge delayed reaction. And so, you know, we were full steam ahead after that. And I, you know, I don't think type two goes far enough, maybe type four. That was an incredible piece of improvisation.
Type four was born. It was just listening back this morning. And I will tell you, I think people who listen to this know that I go to bed early because I get up incredibly early with my babies, but listening to it this morning, I was impressed, like you guys said, similar to the Lawn Boy in how many different modes of improv they went through. I mean, there was a lot going on there, and it was pretty amazing. And I have a question, because, you know, we can talk a little bit about the rest of the show, but there's a lot of conversation today about, you know, is this the best show of 3.0? Is this go in the history books, so to speak? It seems like there's no question that it goes into the books just because of how unique it was. But musically, you know, 12 hours later, what do you guys think in terms of where this show stacks up right now?
Chris here, I'll go with this one. I've been sort of mulling that over the last, 12 hours myself. And, you know, I didn't see him. First Fish show was 99. So, you know, I didn't get back into the mid 90s when I think they were really flying. But for me, I mean, I got this up there with, like, you know, Nassau 03. I was at that show, SPAC 04, both of those shows. I mean, for me personally, of the, you know, 60 some odd shows I've seen, I'd put this way up there on the list, easily top five, maybe even like top three. And to your point, not just because of the setup and, you know, the surrounding elements of it, but musically it was just excellent, you know. And this is what Fish fans want to go into, is hear them open up and jam. And you know, the notion, again, I mean, we can't stop talking about this Lawn Boy. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I still can't get over the fact we sat through a half hour Lawn Boy. That's just amazing. So yeah, I've got this show way up there. You know, I'm not a buff on 3.0. I don't know it inside and out, but for me, it's way up on my list of favorite shows that I got to see.
Excellent. And Sean, what about you?
Yeah, it's in that pinnacle kind of a pantheon, you know, category, along with, for me, you know, like the drive-in set and that whole Magna Ball Saturday comes to mind. You know, the Tahoe Tweezer as a one moment comes to mind, but as a full show, start to finish, you know, this is right up there. I think, you know, a few things for me, like at set break, for example, they were playing so well in the first set, I started to begin to wonder, well, man, are they even going to take a break? They're playing so well. I kind of, in the back of my head, was wondering that. It's just one of those nights where, you know, I felt that the entire spectrum of possibilities seemed available. And that made me and a few other people think at set break, you know, well, man, well, what else could they change or play with, you know, during this run beyond the songs played? Because pretty much what it comes down to is three things, in my opinion. You know, the songs that they choose to play, number one; two, how they play them; and then number three, sort of the overall structure in which they fit into. So I was, you know, was thinking at set break, man, who knows, you know, if they can do this on command, who knows what else they can do? Like, maybe they'll do a Long John show and just have one set for 2.5 hours. Maybe they'll, you know, surprise us with a three-set show, you know, down the line, and start, like, right at 7:30 to fit it all in. Like, and you know, and I guess another piece of, like, the proof in the pudding in terms of how historic this show was with it was that the folks that were – I have Fish friends of all ages. And the people that were texting me most about this show nonstop were the oldest and most veteran of my Fish fans, friends.
Nice.
And I think that says something.
Absolutely. That's awesome. That's great to hear. Well, Guys, I feel like, you know, this is not even scratching the surface of how important this show was, but we do, I know, Chris, you have to run, and we did promise to keep it quick, and we've already played some music, and we're going to play some more. We're going to play one more fan submission of an audio recording before we go into the section of Cross-Eyed and Pinless. So we'll do that, and people should continue to send those clips in. They're great to get and fun for people to hear. Sean, before we go, actually, Chris, before we go, any last words or take on this show? And we'll obviously be revisiting this show many, many times in the future.
I was sort of, again, mulling over my thoughts on the show, and I was kind of wondering, I'm like, who's the MVP? You know, sometimes we talk about these sort of things. Who had the best night? And I got to tell you, I brought a buddy of mine. It was his first fish show. He's a big concert goer, big U2 fan. He's a lot of concerts, and this was his first one, by the way. And so the comment he left there, I was like, well, what did you think of the show? And he loved it, by the way. But the thing he kept saying was the crowd. He's like, I just can't believe how into the show the crowd is. You know, they're hanging on every note. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's all part of it. But I got to tell you, I thought the crowd last night was excellent. The energy in the room was as good as I can remember at a fish show. Again, I'm thinking back to those other shows like Nassau 03 and SPAC and 04. And I can't recall the room being that juiced for the show like it was last night. And if I had to give an MVP, I'd give it to the fans last night.
Excellent. Great. Sean, what about you? Any last takes?
Yeah, two quick things. So I think there's a saying, you know, it might be from Motown, but it's probably in the Bible and Bhagavad Gita and other holy books, too. And that's, you got to give the people what they want. And your poll, of course, shows what the people wanted. And that was jamming. And so it felt so good that, you know, the whole still waiting, I kind of felt like that was in reference. Like we were still waiting for them to pull a show like this and to just go for it. So that was really fun. And then second, of course, you know, to me, it was Fish's humorous side on full display, you know, picking the most innocent vessel possible, Lawn Boy, just blowing it out of the water with an intensely psychedelic and wide ranging, you know, half an hour of improv. So, and then coming back to it at the end. So I think, you know, Fish's humor aside is alive and well, and that's a big reason why I was drawn to the band originally and what separates them from other rock and roll bands.
Amazing. That's great. I like that both of your comments were focused on the fans, and I think, you know, we play an important role too, but man, and you guys might have heard our conversation yesterday with Felicia about Federal Donuts and you know, how they've contributed so much to this atmosphere and this this run musically, and it's just great because our community can contribute so much. And on that note, I guess I would say thank you both for your contributions to the community. Chris, your work on the Wilson piece for NFL Films was amazing, and I think still is super fun to watch. And Sean, thanks for putting together Baker's Beat to kind of keep us all informed and keep content coming on this. And it's cool. This is great. It's awesome that this run is showing so much of our community. So thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks again for having me.
Thank you, RJ.
I appreciate it.
See you all soon.
What's up, guys? So Jamfield night at Baker's Dozen was unbelievable. Probably the best 3.0 show I've seen, and definitely the best since the Fuck Your Face show, 2012 at X. Everyone's going to talk about Lawn Boy, and everyone's going to talk about Cross-Eyed, which I definitely heard some Mountain Jam in. But don't sleep on Fuego. Don't sleep on that sample opener, my friend Stash. Man, it was a hell of a night. Can't wait to come back and listen to a bunch of this stuff. Also, highly recommend the Chase Bridges. We had an absolute blast up there last night. The sound quality was fantastic. Great sight lines. Tons of room to groove. We'll see you tonight for Powered Sugar Night. Peace out.